open with me to Zephaniah. This is the passage that reflects on when the Messiah will come and will return and be accepted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Follow along as I read Zephaniah 3, verses 14 to 20. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thy enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted and gathereth her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gathered you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, thank you. You gave this wonderful encouragement of truth to thy people, the Jews, but also to us, the inheritance of righteousness. We look forward to this day when you will once again present yourself as king, and you will save thy people, and you will be exalted upon your throne. Lord, as we look at Palm Sunday and what happened to our Savior, your Son, may we not be disheartened. May we know that you worked your plan, and although it was a tragedy, you have turned that tragedy to victory and to triumph. Father God, bless your word. Hide me behind the cross for Christ's sake. For ask it in his name. Amen. Well, as I said, today is Palm Sunday, and it is a Sunday that we recognize that the Lord Jesus made what is known as the triumphal entry into what we know as an eternal city, Jerusalem. And he offered himself as the King of the Jews. And when we come to the Gospel of John in the very first chapter, we know that the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, he came, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And Palm Sunday is about how the Messiah, the King of Kings, came to present himself riding upon a lowly donkey. People began stripping palm branches off the trees on the streets of Jerusalem, and then they started laying them in the pathway as Christ rose by on what I like to call the anointed donkey or the colt of an ass. And I would not recommend that you try that, okay? Never, the Bible says, had a man sat on this beast. So you know what that means? You'd be bucked right off. But Jesus proved himself to be the creator, sustainer, and all of nature bows before him. And so this was an anointed beast prepared by God himself to transport Christ through the streets of Jerusalem to offer himself as their king. Palm branches were often used as a symbol of victory, of triumph. In the time of the Grecian and Roman empires, these palm branches were used as flags during the Olympic Games. And the winner of the race carried a palm branch and led the procession, much like we do today in our Olympic Games, but we use a real flag. The Bible tells us, if we study about this triumphal entry, that the Lord Jesus descended from the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem. That's important. Probably doesn't mean much to us, but if you're a student of the Word, it was prophesied, meaning it was predicted, and it had to happen exactly as the Old Testament's prophesied, and it did. And there will be prophecies that reflect upon this ancient prophecy, and Jesus will fulfill it exactly. The people that were there on this Palm Sunday probably were there because they wanted a earthly king, an earthly emperor, leader, that could overthrow the tyranny of Rome, of which Israel and many nations around the world were subjected to. And so the crowd that day, as we read from the gospel accounts, the crowd followed him into Jerusalem and they yelled, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest." That might sound strange to you and I, but what the people were actually saying, they were saying, "Save us, Son of David." Hosanna is a transliteration of a Hebrew word that means save us, deliver us. Thou Son of David, the one who was prophesied by the prophets of old, who would come as the Messiah and deliver us and set up his kingdom and exalt Israel. You read it with me. Zephaniah. This is what the Jewish people wanted. What I read to you this morning. It didn't happen, but it will. Amen. It will. It's in the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 20, you read it with me this morning at that time. It's an appointed time that only God knows. We're going to look at that in a little bit. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gathered you. And God is in the process even now of regathering his people, the Jews, from the four corners of the earth and bringing them back to their homeland. Unprecedented in world history is that a nation left its home, scattered throughout the world, brought to captivity, and came back. They speak the same language, have the same culture, because God promised that at the end times he'd gather his people back. And he said that the generation that is alive when Jerusalem becomes once again the capital, that generation will not pass away to all be fulfilled. Folks, we are living in momentous times. It has not been that long that Israel became a sovereign nation recognized by the world. And ever since then, the devil has undermined the people of Israel. He wants to destroy them, wants to wipe them off the face of the earth. And the reason why is what you read here, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will come, and he will sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he will exalt his people. He will exalt the city to a high mountain, 2,500 square miles. It will be a glorious, glorious day. But getting back to the first Sunday, when the people recognized that Jesus didn't come riding upon a white stallion, but on a lowly donkey, some of them later cried, "Crucify him." They didn't get what they wanted. They wanted to be delivered from the taxes of Rome, the tyranny of Rome. But Jesus came to deliver the world from sin, from God's adversary, the devil, who has done all that he can to usurp the authority of Almighty God. I think it is interesting to note that many of the people there were disingenuous. They weren't there to exalt the Messiah. They were there to be delivered by the Messiah, not from their sin, not from their wicked condition, but from a government that will all but enslave them. They had heard the prophecies for years by their priest, by their scribes, by their rabbis. And they believed the Messiah would come and set up his kingdom, because they took Zephaniah out of context. They took Ezekiel chapter 41 to 43 out of context. They missed Isaiah 53. That's why it's very, very important that we have a systematic understanding of the scriptures from Genesis through to Revelation. It all must work together like a puzzle and fit tightly. They did not see that the Messiah needed to come to redeem a lost world from its wickedness, its sinfulness. They just saw what they wanted to see. The prophecies of old written by Zechariah, some 520 years before Christ came on the scene. And I want to be careful about how I say that, because oftentimes it's misinterpreted. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, existed in eternity past. But yes, he was born in Bethlehem stable, God with us on Christmas Day. But there is more prophecy written about him coming to be offered as a sacrifice. Read from this book of Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the children of Israel. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation." Now that word salvation could be used in a number of ways. They looked at it as deliverance instead of salvation of the soul. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet he loses soul?" We're all going to die. And guess what? You ain't taking any of your earthly possessions with you. Now, people have tried. I've told you some humorous stories about how an elderly lady, very rich lady, she died and she was buried in her Cadillac. But you know what? That Cadillac's going to rust and decay just like her body. God made us a trichotomy. And that's what it means when we're created in the image of God. We're body, soul, and spirit, just as God is a trichotomy. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. When we die, the Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, that the body is made from dust, and dust it shall return. And when we come to that point, the spirit, which emanates from the body, it is who you are. It goes back to God who gave it. Too many people believe, oh, when you die, you know, you just don't exist anymore. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible believes that once we die, the spirit that filled this body, it goes back to the Creator. So I don't know about that. Well, you go read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Getting back to the prophecy of Zechariah 520 years before Christ. He said he comes lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the fold of an ass, exactly as Zechariah predicted 520 years before Christ came. It happened exactly. Now, I don't have time to read it all, but go to Matthew 21 quickly and just pick it up at verse 8 and 9. This is the story, the event of Palm Sunday. And we'll back it up actually to verse 8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Some people, that they, I would imagine, they had these nice cloaks and they took them off. They spread them, and the Bible says, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. This was a way you would honor a king. You know, you roll out the red carpet. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. That is a very precise, particular statement. And that statement is indigenous to the Jewish people only. Son of David. For Jesus Christ is of the line and the lineage, the royal line and lineage of David. And he says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all of the city was moved, saying, who is this? If you read prior to that, verse 5, you'll see exactly as Zechariah predicted, Jesus came to the city. Tell you the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. Now we know that Christ came, he offered himself first as the king of the Jews, but he was rejected. And was not exalted as their king. Because they didn't get their way. They didn't care about their eternal condition. They only cared about their temporary condition. And isn't that much like us? If you're honest this morning and you're transparent before God, you're figuring out how you're going to, you know, pay your next bill, get your next meal. And I know that's part and parcel of the world that we live in. Jesus said it's the cares of the world. But we're not to allow the cares of the world to choke, Jesus said, the seed of the gospel from our life. That teaches us that we have a life hereafter. Too many of us, even Christians, are putting all of our eggs in one basket instead of laying up for the world to come. Do you know that you're born again? You will participate in the kingdom of God for 1,000 years. Because Christ himself is going to establish an earthly kingdom. And he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This week, we will reflect on the passions of Christ and his first coming and why he did not allow himself to be exalted as king, because there was a more important matter, and that was you and me, that we be saved from our sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Now, they didn't know his name would be Jesus. They just knew him as Messiah. But we know as we come into the New Testament, his name was to be Jesus, because it teaches about deliverance. The word Jesus or Yeshua means to save. You may be here this morning thinking, well, why does this even matter to me about Jesus riding on a donkey and people waving palms and throwing them on the pathway? And it happened over 2,000 years ago. Folks, the kingship of Christ did not come 2,000 years ago, because it was not predicted to come 2,000 years ago. But I say to you, we could be alive when he does come, because it is written by the prophet Zephaniah, and you read it with me, that Christ the King is coming again, and he will set up his millennial kingdom. And folks, we need to keep our hearts and our minds in perspective to what the scriptures teach, what they promise. Jesus said this, and you can take him at his word. He said, the scriptures must, and when you read that in the Greek, it conveys the idea, will be fulfilled. Exactly what he said. He said, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, go back and read all the Old Testament scriptures, predictions about his first coming. Christ fulfilled each and every one of those prophecies and predictions. And each and every one of them will come to pass for his second coming. They already are. Wish we had more time, but as I said a few minutes ago, did you know that Israel being regathered from the four corners of the earth has already happened? 1948, Israel raised the flag of a sovereign nation. Unprecedented. I'll never forget sitting on the campus of a secular college and we were studying about the Hebrew people. Dr. Pezza, who was the professor, said, say what you want about the Jewish people, but this is unprecedented in human history. And he did not understand it or know why. I had a nice talk with him afterward. He found it interesting. It is written by Zephaniah that Christ our Lord is coming again. And if the Bible says that, the scriptures will be fulfilled. Folks, be encouraged. The world we're living in is falling apart, but there is a new world coming. Amen. And I'm not talking about the new world order that Satan right now is masterminding. And within that masterminding, he's undermining our very country. For we're probably the only country ever established that has a constitution that reflects that God is the creator and that all of our inalienable rights come from him, and that all men are created equal in the eyes of God. Satan hates God's order and God's design. And look at everything that's happening today in our culture. It is an undermining of the order and the design of Almighty God. Even down to gender. There's a day coming when illness will be practically eradicated, disease, there'll be no need really for doctors. No poverty, no famine, no earthquakes, no racial unrest, no need to lock your doors for crime will be almost unheard of. How can that be? It will. One of the reasons why I chose this topic of the King coming again is because we're studying the book of Revelation. And this particular subject matter ties into Palm Sunday, but it also ties in to Revelation. That wonderful day will become a reality. It will be a time of 1,000 years of peace. It will be known as the Millennial Kingdom. It is a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ, just as the Bible predicts. It will be an earthly political kingdom when he will restore the nation of Israel. He will restore their temple worship. He will restore their holy city. He will exalt these people in the world. You read it. No longer will they have shame. If you go back to Zephaniah, the passage that we read, can you imagine how the Jews take to heart this passage? He says, in that day, verse 16, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. That's all they do. They live in fear every day. Right now, you're hearing again about how bombs and missiles are being launched into their cities. They've lived like this since 1948. But the day is coming when God will deliver them and he will raise them up. In verse 18, I will gather them that are, what's that next word? Sorrowful. For the solemn assembly, who are thee? Verse 19, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. Did you know that there are nations in the Arab world that would love to see Israel completely annihilated? In fact, Iran has gone on to record saying that if they develop a nuclear bomb, they will use it against God's people. But God is a jealous God. Before that can happen, Christ himself will come back. As he prophesied it in Matthew 24:27, he said, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. This is language is indicative that no one's going to miss this. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The day will occur when Christ will return. The Lord Jesus returned to earth, all's glory. The world has never seen a deliverance anywhere near this. The closest that I think our generation could even fathom was in 1942. Many of you might recall that General Douglas MacArthur was made the supreme commander of the Allied forces in the Southwest Pacific. Before General MacArthur withdrew the forces from the Philippine Islands, he made a famous vow. And those of you who have studied American history know what that is or was. Of course, today they teach revisionist history. John MacArthur said, I shall return. On October 20th of 1944, General MacArthur did indeed return to the Philippines. He uttered some very, very dramatic words. I quote, people of the Philistines, I have returned. And by the grace of Almighty God, our forces stand again on Filipino soil, soil that has been consecrated in the blood of our two peoples. And the hour of your redemption is here. Listen to me, children of God. Jesus will return. Jesus is not going to liberate an island or a nation. He is going to liberate an entire world. He's going to deliver us from the evil adversary, Satan, sin, and yes, even ourselves. He shall return. And he shall return in all his glory. The Lord Jesus has promised that he will. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 19, verse 15, we're going to come study this in the near future. But that verse says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. The nations that will gather at Armageddon to destroy Israel. And they will be on the very brink of doing that. But Christ will come. And he will come with all his saints. Do you know who that is? That's anyone who's saved. Anyone who's been born again during what we know as the church era, or the dispensation of the church, which is going on now for 2,000 years. God has been putting together an administration of believers. Now, I don't have the time to show you the verses, but you should look these up. Daniel chapter 9. Go read that. It talks about Jesus will come again. The Messiah will come with all his saints. And he will establish an earthly kingdom. And when he does return, the world is going to be transformed unbelievably. Quickly, because my time is running out. Go to Zechariah, the book of Zechariah. And go to chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah. It's the next to the last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah and Malachi. And in chapter 14, we read this. Pick it up at verse 3. Well, let's go to verse 2. This is the promise that I've been talking about. The Lord says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And when we come to the book of Revelation, we're going to find the bear, which is a mascot of Russia, will come from the north. And the Bible says, and a mass army, a million man army, will come up the Euphrates River. And by the way, that's a possibility even now, because the Euphrates is pretty much dried up, just as the Bible predicted. Who on earth has a million man army? China. Now the word China is not mentioned, but we know a army from the Far East. And what are we seeing come to pass in our day? Russia to the north. A lot of people said, oh, Russia doesn't exist. It was the Union of the Soviet Republic. Well, the Bible's always right. Communism, the Soviet Union collapsed. What do we have? Just what the Bible says, Russia. The Bible talks about Russia. Meshach, which is the major city, which translated today is Moscow. The bear from the north, and her tribes will attack Israel from the north. And this million man army will come from the east. Now I'm telling you all this because all of this is culminating right now in the news. And Zechariah, he says, this will happen. That these nations will gather against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. But when that happens, then shall Jehovah, the Lord, go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of the battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave, that means split, in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. Jump down to verse 7. But it shall be one day, which shall be known to who? The Lord. Not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Daniel picks up on this. And he talks about when this day happens, the Lord will come with all of the saints. He will establish his earthly kingdom. He will come and restore temple worship. He will come and restore the earth. In fact, go to Acts chapter 1. And it will happen exactly as the prophets predicted. And exactly as the angels told the disciples. In verse 10 of Acts 1, the disciples are watching as the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is ascending into heaven. In verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, where the rep went up, behold, two men, these are angels, stood by them in white apparel. Now note carefully what they say. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Where were they? Oh, read verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount, what? Of Olives. The Bible predicts he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. And it'll be a new world. And you, who are born again saints of God, you will be administrators throughout the world. Where you will be, I don't know. That'll depend on how well you serve now. When he comes, the Bible says, not only will Jerusalem be raised up as a high mountain, but it will be greatly enlarged as well. And Ezekiel, take the time to read the book of Ezekiel. I know it's difficult. But especially those last chapters, 41 to 45, describe the millennial kingdom. I preached from that many years ago. It states that the holy portion of the land will be immense, measuring 2,500 square miles. God will reign on the throne of David there. And the church will accompany him. People like you and me standing side by side with heavenly creatures that John described as these living creatures, angels. And we will be made leaders. We will be made administrators in his dispensation. Today is Palm Sunday, and it is a day that we reflect on the future. And it is a day that we reflect on the truth. Yes, he died. Yes, he was buried. But he is coming again because he was resurrected. And I trust that you'll be back next week to celebrate his resurrection. Let's close in prayer. Father, we have labored the word on this day, your day, so we could feed our hearts, our souls, and our minds. May we be instructed by your Spirit that we do not live by bread alone. Some may be concerned here about going for food, but you want to feed our souls. May we recognize how much more important that is in our lives. So you could sustain us in the time of adversity. In these times of distress, when you are putting us to the greatest test, cause us to come back to the scriptures that comfort us and guide us. Never allow the world's crisis and the culture around us to disillusion us from your will and the purpose that you have for us in our lives. Help us to immerse ourselves daily in your word, that we will never be caught off guard as the crisis comes. And Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Christ as their Savior, may today they surrender, acknowledging that they are a sinner before a holy God. They need to be saved. Accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to close by singing 334, There Is Power in the Blood. 334, just the first stanza.